Welcome to the ASI Tuesday Morning Show, where some of ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. Joining me this morning in our brand spanking new studios is Joe Haley, our managing editor. Some of you may know him as star of The Joe Show. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Melinda. How are you?
Good, thank you. Also here in the studio is Kathy Houston, the beloved editor of Advantages Magazine. Hey, Kath.
Hi, everybody.
We've also got Andy Cohn, a.k.a. Mr. Business, the editor of Counselor Magazine. Good morning, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
Good.
And, of course, we have Michelle Bell, our snarkiest editor, who only agreed to come this morning after we promised to serve mimosas. Michelle is the editor of Supplier Global Resource. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, everybody.
We have a great show on tap for you this morning, and we welcome your calls at any time. The phone lines are currently open. You can reach us at 215-953-4979. Joe, why don't you tell us what we've got on tap for the show today?
You got it, Melinda. We have a full slate of topics to cover. First, what's going on with the pharmaceutical industry? It's getting so bad that reps can't even give their doctors a pen. Vacations, how are they being affected by rising gas prices? Who's staying home and who's traveling? Fresh from the mosh pit, it's Kathy Houston. She's going to give us an update of what's going on with concert wear. Hey, why aren't salespeople wearing suits on sales calls? We'll look at that. Also, an exclusive ASI Central survey, McCain versus Obama. Who's better for the industry? All that, and Andy Cohen's going to give us the industry news in 60 seconds.
All this and more, but first let's hear from one of our sponsors, All in One. And when we return, we'll hear more about why these new pharma regulations are rocking the industry.
Did you know that going green for the environment can mean more green in your pocket? Now, more than ever, ecological products are what your clients want. All-in-One's Green Line features top-quality, earth-friendly products including USB flash drives made with renewable bamboo, wood, and recycled plastic, solar and hand-powered chargers for mobile phones, and eco-friendly pens made with recycled plastic. Visit www.allinoneline.com/greenline or call All-in-One at 1-800-843-7367. That's 1-800-843-7367. Remember, the future is green.
Welcome back to the ASI Tuesday Morning Show, where Andy Cohn's got the latest industry news in 60 seconds or less. Andy, you're on deck.
Thanks, Melinda. The Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers Association has dealt a potentially devastating blow to the ad specialty market. The organization created new guidelines for its member companies' interactions with doctors, and as of January 1, 2009, pharma sales reps are no longer supposed to give any logoed items to doctors. That was one new policy amid a number of new restrictions placed on the marketing practices of drug companies. Now the pens, boxes of tissues, coffee mugs, and magnets with logos that are so prevalent will not be allowed in doctors' offices anymore. In Promogram later today, we'll also be releasing the full results of our second quarter sales survey. Distributors in the market reported a 3.8% increase in revenues for the quarter that just ended on June 30th. That follows the 3.4% growth reported for the first quarter. The market is starting to show some pessimism, however, as the number of distributors anticipating an overall sales increase in 2008 fell from 59% in the first quarter to 47% in the second quarter. We'll have more on this survey in our weekly news video later today. There are also three different merger and acquisition stories that we're working on. All involve small company distributors coming together to join forces. And of course, we have a new episode of The Joe Show. Joe, what are you featuring today?
We're going to look at some desk accessories, Andy.
Cool. Well, that should be interesting. We'll have that and people on the move and everything in the news that the industry has to offer.
You can get all that news and more in today's Promogram, of course. But Andy, let's move for a minute back to the pharma story. And this is obviously big news for the industry, and we want to hear from listeners today on what they think of the new regulations. So please call us at 215-953-4979. Andy, what are you hearing in the marketplace?
Well, we talked to both suppliers and distributors, and certainly there's unanimous feeling that there's a big impact. You know, the new measures that came out will certainly affect sales in the market, as we talked about. Pens and mugs and magnets and even the smallest priced items are now not supposed to be given to doctors anymore. So sales reps have a tool that has been taken away from them that they've used big for a long time. But some people are also saying that companies will shift some of their spending to other areas that distributors can take advantage of. So, you know, not everybody's looking at it as all bad, but there is a concern in the market for sure.
We're certainly getting a lot of calls and emails about this from distributors.
Cool.
Actually, we've got Dave Bozinski from Brand Fuel on line three. Hi, Dave. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So tell us what the impact you think is going to be for Brand Fuel with these new pharma regulations.
I think with brand fuel, it won't be all that significant, actually. We're pretty pretty well diversified across many different industries.
Mm-hmm.
And we do some pharma business, but it's primarily small pharma. It's not any of the companies that were mentioned, you know, in the guideline, which will be interesting to see how they either step in line with, you know, their industry or if they continue to do, you know, what they want to do. Because, you know, it is a guideline. I know Andy obviously has a lot of experience with this. You know, the big companies are going to step in, and the top 25 pharma companies in the country are going to say no pens, no pads, no tissue boxes, no lotion, no, you know, everything that we've been selling them for 20 years. But I think small pharma, you know, they'll talk to their legal and their compliance people, and they'll say, you know, what are we? We pharma companies, we biotech companies, we biotherapeutics. You know, what are we? And I guess my experience with the purchasing and the marketing people in pharma, they all come from a sales background. So I think, you know, the base level, you know, they want to help their salespeople.
And yeah, I think
a lot of. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think what will be interesting to see how it plays out is how different companies do sign on. As David said, the biggest companies have agreed so far to sign on to the guidelines, but it is a voluntary thing. So how other companies in the pharma market, you know, approach this type of regulation, it will be interesting to see. There's not any massive legislation right now on a national basis, so it's more voluntary at this point.
Andy, has there been any reason as to why they're going with this voluntary?
Well, some people are saying it's politically motivated. In a in an election year, they're trying to get the you know, the spotlight off of them a little bit. So they're coming up with some guidelines that are, you know, getting the politicians to not talk about the healthcare industry as much. Obviously, healthcare is an issue, but they want to take the spotlight off the companies.
Well, thanks for calling in, Dave. And we've got Bonnie Sandy from DART on line one. Bonnie, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Bonnie, what are your feelings about the new pharma regulations?
I do feel that this is something that is crucial at this time, but I do think that it's going to subside after the election year is all said and done. This is something that they've been using as far as the guidelines in Europe for the past several years, and I do a lot of business overseas, so this is something that we, you know, have been on top of and we're in the forefront for. And because of it, instead of just hiring regular design artists, we're hiring medical illustrators instead. We knew that we had to be a little bit more proactive for the pharma guidelines for the future, because all the teaching tools and basically the doctor, patient, care kits, those are the things that we knew we had to focus on moving forward.
Sure. Well, thanks very much for calling in, Bonnie. And when on a somewhat lighter note, it seems like vacations just aren't what they used to be. Joe, tell us who's taking vacation this summer and where they're going, if anywhere.
Well, according to an American...
And I know you're going on vacation.
I am going on vacation three more
where
weeks.
Where are you going?
We're going to the Outer Banks, North Carolina with three other families, and it's something we do every other year, and it's a lot of fun. But American Business on Open Small Business Monitor says that 59% of small businesses will be taking vacation, but 20% will be spending less time on their travels. And the thing is, when small business owners are on travel, they also do a lot of worrying. 36% stress out over client care, 31% worry about missed opportunities because they're not there. And this is surprising that 30% think that their employees are slacking off.
While they're on vacation.
While they're on vacation. While the owner's out, I guess the cat's, you know, the cat's away, the mice will play.
Some of us slack off while we're working.
Yeah, we know that.
Joe, do you worry when you're on vacation?
Absolutely not. I know that we have such a crack staff back here in the office that there's absolutely nothing
crack
to worry
staff.
About. Yeah, and I don't worry at all, so much so that I don't even take my cell phone with me, so there's no need to try and call me while I'm away on
vacation.
Don't worry,
we won't.
Well, thank you.
I know that you're a big user of promotional products to promote your vacation beforehand. Is that right?
Absolutely. For the last 48 weeks, I've been sending all the families countdown emails, and with about 9 weeks left to go, courtesy of American Apparel, all the women going on vacation in the mail received a pair of thong underwear.
What wow. about the men?
The men received nothing. They just, I guess, well, I guess they also received
What's
them,
What's up
too.
With that?
Well, you know. Hey, they can wear their wife's thong if they want to. One family liked it so much that they actually, everyone in the family took a picture of themselves, including the dog, wearing the thong.
Michelle, are you getting an email?
I did get an email from my pal Michael Woody. just sent me an email to my crackberry ever glued to my hand about the pharma guidelines. And he says that from our industry's strategic standpoint, the new pharma code should be framed as a comparison of the cost of promotional products versus the cost of other media and their different uses as marketing tools.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for that,
an interesting
Michael.
Point.
You know, the calls from the pharma issue are still pouring in. We've got Mickey Hayes on line 3, and Mickey is from Sunscope. Good morning, Mickey.
Good morning.
Hey, Mickey, how are you?
Hi, Mickey.
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Mickey, are you at Sunscope worried about the new pharma guidelines?
Yes, we are.
And what any plans to combat this?
Well, we're going to look at other avenues as far as what we can do to, you know, help better educate the doctors. But the problem is that there's a lot of suppliers and distributors out there who depend on the pharmaceutical market for their daily business. As far
Certainly.
As pens and pads.
What percentage of Sunscope's business comes from this industry?
I'd rather not say. It is a big part.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we are diversified enough that we're going to survive. But there's a lot of other suppliers and distributors out there in this industry that, you know, that may not.
Did you see this sort of thing coming, or did it catch you off guard?
No, we saw it coming. But the problem is that they've been talking about it now for a long period of time, and now they're trying to implement it.
Right.
These guidelines are basically volunteered by the pharmaceutical companies. There are still some pharmaceutical companies out there that aren't abiding by it.
Yep.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, as we talked about, it is voluntary, so it'll be
interesting. But there is a far and few between, though, as far as the number of pharmaceutical companies that are going to be addressing this.
Sure.
This is not going to solve the drug prices by any means.
Sure.
This is the snowball starting at the top of the mountain, and it's going to start an avalanche as far as the world, you know, as we know it, as far as promotional products.
Andy, how much does pharmaceutical represent industry sales?
In the State of the Industry survey for 2007, it was a little bit more than 3% of industry sales.
So we're looking
I mean, it's a significant chunk. It's over $600 million,
wow.
Essentially.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Mickey.
You're welcome.
Now we're going to hear for a few words from another one of our sponsors, MediaTree. And when we come back, let's find out what our summertime concert correspondent, Kathy Houston, has been up to.
Distributor.MediaTreeGroup.com has ushered in a new era in digital promotions. Recently relaunched by MediaTree, Distributor.MediaTreeGroup.com is a new interactive destination that is only for distributor partners like you. If you're looking to impress your current clients and land new accounts, simply visit Distributor.MediaTreeGroup.com to see what the hottest trends in digital promotions can do for you.
Welcome back to the ASI Tuesday Morning Show, where we're enjoying mimosas and talking about summertime concerts. Kathy, you've hit a few this summer. What are you seeing in the way of promotional products?
Well, Rock Apparel had been dropping in sales in recent years, but it's really picking up, and it's right up there in the revenue stream for the music industry. That's because bands that are currently touring are really into T-shirts that are politically correct, environmentally friendly, and fashionable, and their fans are eating those up, paying as much as $55 for basic tees.
Wow.
So what you're saying is the old black concert T-shirt is not the only game in town anymore.
That's right. So throw it away, Joe Haley.
Okay. Hey, retro trees are pretty popular.
They're very hot right now. Everybody's into vintage.
But one of the questions I have, you said politically correct concert T-shirts. What exactly is a politically correct concert T-shirt?
Made in the USA or in factories that employ fair labor standards.
So social compliance.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
And can the vendors actually prove that? Do they have some type of signage that says that?
Yes, they do. They're working with manufacturers that will guarantee that.
And then how many shirts have you purchased this summer?
Well, I didn't purchase any because at a recent concert I went to, beer was $8 a glass. So I only had $30 and they weren't accepting credit cards. So you know my priorities, Joe.
Priorities,
yes, that's so sad. So sad.
I also think it's interesting the way some bands, not necessarily tied to concerts, but are releasing albums in sort of new ways.
Definitely on the USB.
Yeah, I mean, that is cool. Mm-hmm. I think it was Matchbox 20 last year that released their latest album.
It was,
on,
and most recently Ringo Starr. Ringo Starr did
cool.
that recently,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great use of promotional products that the music industry
right.
is catching
they're,
on to.
Go Ringo. They're looking at all kinds of new ways to promote their stuff.
That's awesome.
Well, I know I'll be going to the American Idol Pop-Tarts tour in just a few weeks.
Well,
so
well
I'll
you
be
have fun with that.
And she has a collection of T-shirts from them, too.
That's unfortunate. Well, we'll see the
yes,
T-shirts,
I've been
right?
to every one. Absolutely. I'll right. model it as soon as the concert's out.
Bring them all in at the same time.
That's something to be proud of.
All right, now we're going to hear from another sponsor, Custom HPC. And when we come back, we'll find out why nobody in the industry seems to be wearing suits anymore. Plus, who's better for business, McCain or Obama?
From lip balm to foot cream and everything in between, Custom HPC has you covered. The leading manufacturer of custom imprinted health and beauty products, Custom HPC has a promotion solution for you. Whether it's antibacterial gel for a hospital, a stain remover stick for a dry cleaner, window cleaner for a glass company, or sun protection for a golf tournament, look to Custom HPC to help design a custom promotion that works for you. Call 1-800-442-9881 or visit them at www.customhbc.com.
Well, we're back and the news is out, guys. This ASI Central poll is just released. And that is that few people, and I know Joe's going to be really dismayed about that, few people are wearing suits on business calls.
For shame on you.
Yes, distributors are going toward business casual. About 68%, I believe, are wearing business casual attire on calls.
It should be noted, by the way, that Joe Haley is our resident Andy Rooney.
Yeah,
curmudgeonly and crotchety.
Yeah, the one with
minus
the bow tie
eyebrows,
in the picture,
maybe?
Yeah.
Joe, what do you think about that?
I think it's a bad move. I think that first impressions are lasting, and if you're calling on potential clients, you need to show up in proper business attire. And if you get to a client and they're overly casual or they feel uncomfortable with you being in a suit and tie, you can always take that tie off.
What, in the parking lot?
You can take it off. You know, I'm sure the receptionist will tell you. He's like, "Cool, you're overdressed."
And you just whip it.
And you just whip it off right there.
Off the tie right there.
Yes, you're whipping off a tie. You're whipping off a tie. You can undo your tie, stick it in a briefcase, stick it in the jacket pocket. That's not a problem.
In all fairness, I think we should preface this, Joe, by telling the little story, the intern story.
This is overblown.
You scared somebody away.
ASI has a dress code policy that you can wear jeans on Mondays and Fridays, much to Joe's dismay, who I believe you'd think that jeans are not appropriate on Mondays.
Correct.
So we had an intern come in for an interview a while back, and he ranted for 20 minutes,
I believe.
That is
incorrect. There's no 20-minute
rant. About
this
rant. Policy, and sent her running screaming from the office, and we've never heard from her again.
Oh, well, you know. Hey, look, no one here has ever seen me in jeans on a Monday.
I have.
You are a liar, Kathy.
I saw you back in the day.
You are a liar.
I believe I commented on how good you looked.
Well, thank you. I haven't
seen you in jeans. I've seen you in ripped khakis and a T-shirt. So that apparently is more acceptable.
That is incorrect as well.
Well, but what's the difference then between Monday and Friday if the policy is the policy?
You know, maybe it's a mental thing. I think Friday's like dress down Friday. You're getting ready for the weekend. There's not a lot of sales calls being made at companies on Friday. Stop assigning Michelle.
And you were born in the 1940s?
Yeah. 30s? Why don't you just get in your jalopy and head over to the apothecary to get some liniment?
Yes, and I'm wearing a bowler hat. And I have an ascot on, and I'm wearing spats. I think it's inappropriate.
Outfit. We need people like you around here, though, to keep the rest of us honest.
Thank you.
Hey, we've actually got Nicole Rollander, editor of Wearables Magazine, on line three. And Nicole has been following the business casual dress code in the magazine. Nicole, how are you this morning?
I'm great.
Hi,
Nicole.
Hey, Nicole.
Good. Does this surprise you, Nicole, that promotional products distributors are not wearing suits on sales calls?
No, and actually what we've seen at the magazine, distributors and their clients agree that the casual Friday has gone a little bit too freaky Friday. Like, you know, you see people wearing sweatpants and Crocs.
Yeah, that's
but,
crazy.
But, you know, but even just...
That's a little too much.
What about flip-flops?
I'm with Joe on that.
But yeah, but even, you know, the jeans, T-shirts, that kind of look has definitely crossed over into regular business casual. So they're saying that they want to see it go back toward, you know, being more professional, like polos and khakis and stuff.
Thank
rather
you.
Than
Joe.
Yeah, although I'm
your
not
argument
a fan
wins
of khakis.
Out.
I'm so, but
and you're not a fan of polos,
no, but
too.
They don't want to see people wearing suits. However, what we have heard from consultants is that distributors, if they don't want to wear suits on sales calls, they probably should wear higher scale or brand name logoed polos or wovens with khakis just to make a, you know, neat appearance.
I agree with that.
Yep.
Yeah, of course you
now,
do.
What about stilettos? Are they appropriate in the workplace? Because that's something
well,
that Michelle Bell
I am
favors.
Wearing stilettos right now, so I would have to say yes.
Wow, I don't know how you guys do it. Well, we've got another editor on the line. Jay Gordon from Uniforms Magazine is with us. Jay, you've been following the business casual trend as well, correct?
I've been following that pretty closely in Uniforms Magazine. In fact, it's I'd say one of the the key issues we've been writing about in the first year and a half of our publication.
Now, is the business casual trend here to stay, or do you see a move toward back toward suits?
Well, I think business casual is here to stay, but I do see that the pendulum is swinging back the other way. Almost everyone we talk to when we do stories for uniforms tells us that you know, they believe the pendulum swung too far in terms of business casual.
Boo. That was
and
a boo.
So they
believe you got booed on the air.
What's that?
You got booed on the air.
No, that was just Michelle, our snarky editor. Don't worry about it.
No, I actually had someone relay an interesting story to me one time. She talked about the fact that she was working with two divisions of a technology company, and one of the divisions had a pretty strict dress code, and the other division did not. They could wear basically anything they wanted to work. And after, I think it was a year of study, they looked at the number of errors and defective parts that the one division had turned out versus the other. And the division that had a strict dress code had a far lower
that's interesting.
Mistake rate, a far lower
that's right.
A bad part rate than the other division did. I thought that was kind of an interesting
Yeah, because they're dressed and they're ready to work. They're
You're validating
mindset.
All of
they
Joe's
They don't look
day.
Like they're
for
ready
success.
To go to a bar. I don't think people look bad. I just think it's inappropriate for the workplace.
There's well, nothing wrong
so much,
with inappropriate.
Thanks so much for calling in, Jay. I know you're on vacation. Enjoy the rest of your time in Nag's Head.
See you, Jay.
And now we've got on line five, Tad Webster. Tad, we were talking about gas prices earlier. How you're out in L.A., is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Hi, Tad.
Hi, everybody.
What's
Good
the
morning.
Price of a gallon of gas in L.A. today?
Unfortunately, it's four. Well, the premium unleaded is about $4.89.
Wow.
Whoa. That's tough. Now, are you hearing complaints from your employees at Promo Shop? And what are you guys doing to combat the rising gas prices?
Well, it's interesting because of our location. We have a number of people that do commute quite a distance.
I've commuted in L.A. before. It's not fun.
Yeah, forget the distance. It's also the dealing with the traffic in the beautiful 405 freeway.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's fun.
You're ducking gunshots, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Any strategies you're putting in place to help employees out?
You know, for our salespeople, just working with them and scheduling multi-meetings in one geographical location. Working smarter. How do you penetrate a client? You know, the obvious answer is to schedule meetings multiple locations, multiple departments within a building, within a client's location.
You know, that
maximize
is the biggest,
your penetration.
That's the biggest strategy that we're hearing from just about every distributor and supplier that we speak to. Just trying to group sales calls is something that I would say everybody is trying to do on a daily basis.
Otherwise, you're just driving all over the planet.
Yeah, I could imagine
you can't do it like you could before.
And that's quite a challenge, too.
Oh, it is.
Without a doubt. I mean, the other part of it is teleconferencing and using the internet, emailing and sending clients to. Again, there's a few very good supplier end user websites that can be a real tool, asset and sales tool for our people. And so we're really educating them on using the best that are out there to forward to their clients.
That's fantastic, Tad. Well, good luck on the 405 freeway.
I'm
talking
Thanks,
about gas prices. We also have on line three, Tom Carroll from Selco. Tom, I believe you've developed a creative strategy to help your employees with rising gas prices. Is that right?
Yes, we did. Actually, it was Tim Allen, our production manager, kind of got things going along with Mark Abels, the owner and president. And we figured out that with our production people, a lot of them driving in, we've gone to a four-day work week only in the production facility. So they're still putting in their 40 hours, but we're reducing their driving back and forth by one day, which is really going over extremely well.
Is that indefinite, or does that have a time frame to it?
Right now, it's kind of indefinite. I think the original thing was to look at it for the summer, but it seems to be working so well that it's kind of an indefinite thing right now.
That's great.
And as long as it doesn't affect our, you know, our customers, and at this point, you know, our customer service is still there on Fridays as well, and there's somebody to handle sample orders and kind of those rush things, but. If we get extremely busy and we've got to add some overtime or something like that, that's fine. But at this point, it's being really appreciated by the employees.
I bet it's a great motivational tool. Well, thanks for calling in, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Tommy.
Thank you much.
Well, that's not the only poll on ASI Central that was released this week.
We also have been asking members of the industry who's better for business, Obama or McCain, and we're certainly getting lots of responses. If you want to weigh in on this one, give us a call at 215-953-4979. Michelle, who's better for business?
Wait, first I just have to say I got an email here from Dan Towns of Shelbyville, Pencil, and apparently we're all on webcam, and his comment is, seeing Rich on webcam makes him miss Deborah Norville.
Wow.
Fantastic. I hope he can't see our champagne flutes.
I hope he can.
Michelle, who are industry members saying is better for business?
Well, among the more than 500 people who responded to the survey, much to my chagrin, 51% say they favor John McCain.
Yay.
Ooh, 51. The gap has narrowed, though, because a few days ago we were tracking, McCain was tracking 8 points ahead.
Now it's only six.
So we're not ready to call this?
No, we're not. We have no whiteboard out. No, okay. We're not calling it. 43%. The same people favor Obama.
Little editorial comment in there. You can do that on radio.
I wonder who Michelle wants.
I am an unabashed Obama girl.
It's all right. We've got some other...
You're using that word girl very loosely.
Yes, our dress code maven here, I think, would beg to differ.
It fits.
Yeah.
That's great. And any breakdown in terms of, you know, regional or age?
There are, actually. By age... Obama, not surprisingly, carried the younger voters by a margin of 62% to 31% among the 18 to 34 age demographic, while McCain won each of the remaining blocks, ages 35 to 44, 45 to 54, that's you, Joe,
yes,
and 55 to 64, yeah, by a margin of at least 20 percentage points.
And we're all wiser with age.
Now, as you know.
I don't think it's any shocker that small businesses tend to favor McCain. Andy, this kind of goes with the general trend of small businesses, right?
For sure. You know, when we talk to smaller distributors that are in the industry, you know, they were, for the most part, more towards McCain because of tax reasons. You know, they tend to favor Republicans in the first place, but his economic and tax policies favor the small businesses a little bit better than Barack Obama's at this point.
Sure. Well, we've got a lot of calls rolling in about this one. On line four, we've got supplier Tom No. How you doing this morning, Tom?
Oh, not too bad.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Wow, you got a lot of fans here in the studio. Tom, who are you favoring? Who's better for your business, McCain or Obama?
McCain, of course.
Yay. Ah, and why is that?
Because he's smart.
Joe Haley just lit up.
He's got real-world experience, for one. McCain never knew anything other than textbook. And secondly, I work hard for my taxes, and I like to keep it. Or my money, and I like to keep it.
Absolutely.
You know, overtaxation is not going to help the economy any right now, especially right now.
I'm never drinking with you again.
Meanwhile, Joe Haley is violently nodding his head.
Well, Joe will take your place.
You're creating a little division here in the studio this morning, Tom.
But here's the interesting thing is that there is not a single president in history that has ever won the office without winning Ohio.
Go Ohio.
So Ohio. You might look at it that way. In Ohio,
well, I guess some would argue that some past candidates actually won it, but it wasn't, you know,
okay,
official.
If you look
that's
back
a different
in history,
issue,
they've never won. They've never won the presidency without winning Ohio, and Ohio is always inherently a more of a conservative, moderate state than anything else.
But it's a toss-up now.
Well,
that
we shall see.
It is a toss-up.
It is a toss-up, and I'm hoping it's tossing McCain's way.
All right. Well good luck there, Tom. Thanks for calling
in.
Thanks, Tom.
On line one, we may have a different point of view here from Craig Nadel. Craig, how are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you out there?
Hey, Craig.
Good. You're very loud. So who are you supporting, McCain or Obama, and why, Craig?
Well, I'm going against my pocketbook. I hate to agree with Joe here.
Oh, no.
Join
I'm
the club.
I'm voting for Obama. I'm an Obama fan.
And why is that?
I think there's no question that McCain is better for business.
And but yet you're why are you swaying toward Obama?
I'm not for business reasons. But if you talk about for just the industry, I think McCain is clearly a better choice. I'm against the war in Iraq, and I would rather see Obama pick the Supreme Court justices that replace Stevens and whoever else might leave.
I love you, Craig Nadel.
But for business reasons
well,
only.
We got one and one.
There's no question I think McCain's better. It's
but
not
for
even
personal
close.
Reasons, you're an Obama mama.
But you're voting for Obama.
Yeah, for personal reasons.
And you've got a nice little dog there barking in the background.
God.
He wants McCain.
Yes, your dog disagrees with you, I believe.
No question. that McCain's better for business, I think. I mean, at least business in our industry, small businesses, you know, against the trial lawyers and unions and stuff.
For sure.
Well, fantastic, Craig. Thanks for calling in. I guess this will all be settled in November.
Thank you.
Well, guys, it's a wrap. We've got to get back to our real jobs now. But please join us next Tuesday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time when we'll be reporting live from ASI Chicago. You'll hear the latest industry news, get the scoop on the hottest new products, and hear what Michelle Bell thinks are the most successful pickup lines at industry events.
Woo-hoo.
See you next week.